Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, listeners. This episode of Luke's English Podcast is sponsored by iTalki, which is a very convenient service that you can use to develop your fluency in English by talking to native speakers online. And to claim your iTalki voucher worth 100 iTalki credits, just go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalki logo on my website. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Right then, so here's a new episode of the podcast. And in this one, I'm joined by my friends Paul Taylor and Robert Hayne. And I invited them both over to my flat recently in order to record the three of us doing a speaking exercise that I usually do in class with my students. The speaking exercise is designed to help the students to practice using different grammatical structures, including present perfect tense for talking about life experiences, and also past simple tense for asking questions about those life experiences and for giving specific details about past events, and also generally for telling stories, describing narratives, giving anecdotes and things like that. So in the classroom, I find that this exercise generates lots of conversation and gives my students a chance to practice all that language. I thought it might be interesting to record some native speakers doing the exercise in order to see what kind of language comes out. And I always encourage you to try and notice specific bits of grammar or vocabulary. And also, just so that I can now present you with a natural conversation between native speakers speaking authentically, spontaneously, without reading from a script, and without grading their language at all. So it's good for your English to listen to this kind of conversation from time to time, because it's slightly more challenging than the episodes in which I'm just speaking on my own. So you'll hear us, for example, interrupting each other a bit, speaking pretty quickly, talking over each other from time to time, as friends usually do when they get together. So you know Paul Taylor already. He's been on the podcast lots of times before, but Robert Hayne you might not know. So Rob is an actor and comedian who has actually been on this podcast before in episode number 143. So if you'd like to get to know Rob a bit more, then you can go back and listen to episode 143, in which Rob said a number of things which caused a bit of trouble in the comments section. Not too much, but some people found some of the things he said to be, what's the word for it, deeply offensive? I suppose so. The thing is that Rob didn't really mean any offense and he was just joking, but it completely backfired on him. So if you've listened to episode 143, you might know what I'm talking about. But anyway, we're going to deal with that at the beginning of this episode before we do the speaking exercise. It's not too serious. In fact, most of what we're saying in this episode and what we said in episode 143 are not supposed to be taken very seriously. A lot of it's just joking around. We're being sarcastic. We're making fun of each other. In fact, we're even insulting each other at certain points. But it's not supposed to be taken on face value. It's just a bit of a laugh, okay? The English, of course, is well worth your attention, but don't take much of the rest of it too seriously. It's just a bit of fun. Okay, right then. So I think that's it. Also, there's some swearing in this episode, which I should say, just in case you're sensitive to that kind of thing. Some swearing and generally lots of fun. So if you don't like fun, then think twice before listening to this. And if you don't like swearing, then, I don't know, put your fingers in your ears for the next hour. Okay, all right then, that's it for this introduction. I'll speak to you again at the end of the episode, but now you can just listen to this conversation, and here we go.
I like this pen.
Thanks, it's not mine.
That's mine. Ah. Don't steal that pen.
Okay? No, I won't.
Good. Right, so Hello, everyone. Today on the podcast, I'm joined by a couple of guests. First of all, I have Paul Taylor with me, fresh from an appearance on French television.
Hello, everyone.
How are you doing, Paul?
I'm doing good. Hello, listeners to Luke's English podcast.
How was it being on French TV today?
Well, it wasn't on French TV. It was on a newspaper website called Le Figaro, which is basically like, not The Independent, but I don't know, it's a massive newspaper in France.
Okay.
Like Le Monde or like El Mundo in Spain and the New York Times in the US, right. And the Venezuelan yes. Apertura, I don't know.
So you were on a newspaper.
I was on a, they recorded me live on video for a newspaper.
Okay, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can actually be on video on a newspaper.
Well, the thing is, since all this new media has taken off, it's paper newspapers don't really, like, no one reads them anymore. So they go online, and so we're on the online version.
Okay.
But it was broadcast live on Facebook, which is maybe why it felt like it was on TV.
Yes.
It looks like a TV set.
It did, yes. Now, also, Robert Hayne is back on the podcast.
Hello, Luke Thompson.
Hello, Robert Hayne. Now, everyone, last time Rob was on the podcast, which was in episode 143, in which we hung out together in Rob's kitchen.
They should push pause right now and go listen to that
They could do that. Do you remember episode 143? We hung out in your kitchen.
It's been haunting me for since we spoke last.
Yes. We made tea cocktails, and then Rob offended everyone with some really obnoxious comments about American foreign policy.
I just spilled on myself. I'm just so embarrassed.
He's just spilled tea all over himself.
I want to start by apologizing to everyone who heard that filth that came out of my mouth mm-hmm. as I was pretending to be a bullish. I don't know how you would describe it.
That
Luke.
Kind of cowboy character.
Cowboy. I guess
cowboy
I could
redneck
just
redneck American.
Well, yes. Even worse. I think it was more of a Donald Trump kind of a just braggish, hot-headed, superior thinking kind of person mm-hmm. who doesn't consider the feelings of others. And I'm sorry for. I'm assuming people have pushed pause at this point. They've gone back. They've listened to everything I said, and I want you to understand that it was a joke, okay? I was trying to, you know, be funny in my own little way, and obviously a lot of people took me seriously, and I regret the fact that, you know, that happened, and I just want to retract most of those statements, and as Donald Trump said, wrong.
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 Wrong. Yeah, he did. Okay. Well, we're going to deal with that, Rob, okay? We're going to sort of get past this and move on to fresh pastures.
I hope
pastures.
We can move on. I hope
okay.
we can.
So since that episode, I've never invited Rob back on the podcast. Until now, okay?
And rightly so. I have no right being here this time even.
I thought it was actually time to bring Rob back on since his name has been mentioned a couple of times recently.
It's very gracious of you.
And first of all, though, we have to deal with the fallout from his last appearance.
Uh-oh.
Which, honestly, it wasn't really that bad. Okay, it wasn't. But anyway, we're going to deal with the fallout before we go on to talk about some other stuff. So last time, Rob said some comments which were not supposed to be taken seriously, right? Just some stuff about America, like bombing other countries a little bit. And he hasn't been on the podcast since. So I think we need to deal with that. And I think what we're going to do, Paul, I thought that I would roast Rob a little bit.
Oh, okay.
At the beginning. And then, you know, he will pay his dues.
Have you now got to explain what a roast is?
I do.
Jesus Christ.
So a roast, ladies and gents, is something that sort of American comedians do. It usually happens on someone's birthday. And all the comedians take turns to insult the person whose birthday it is, right? So they make lots of jokes, and it's very insulting, and it gets pretty harsh. But that's the whole point, and everyone gets roasted, and you're not supposed to get offended. It's just a kind of an American tradition to insult someone.
To get an idea, listeners, you can go, if you type into YouTube, the roast of Donald Trump. Comedy Central is a big US
Justin
TV
Bieber.
Show.
I like Justin Bieber.
He actually did all right. Yeah, so they roast celebrities professionally on live, well, not on live
TV. Charlie Sheen, that's another good one.
Yes.
Charlie Sheen.
Yes, that's
right. So you can see what those look like.
You can see what a roast looks like if you just Google those things. So here's what I said during Rob's roast, okay? Do you remember this?
Oh, when we actually did his roast. Yeah,
so I said, hanging out with Rob is a profound experience.
True, that's true.
After you spend some time with him, you might have a crisis of religious faith. Not because he has persuasive arguments against the existence of God, but because if God does exist, then that means he's created everything, including Rob. And the question is, why?
Why? Why would he bother? Okay, why would an intelligent creator choose to invent Rob Hain? You know, it's impossible. It would never have happened. So Rob's existence is basically proof that we're just alone in the universe. No intelligent designer would have created Rob, so...
There's no logical explanation.
It's just random chance. It's exciting hanging out with Rob.
It is.
I imagine it's a bit like spending time in the company of a great ape, you know, like an orangutan or something, you know? It's exciting because you never quite know what's going to happen next, and it's fun to speculate on just how intelligent he really is.
Keep you guessing.
Whenever he manages to do something like communicate a complex message, it's always very exciting. Like, oh, he asked for a banana. Oh, he offended someone. Amazing. But there's always a fear that he's going to get confused and start throwing things around or pull someone's arms out of their sockets.
That's true. I'm very strong. Am I supposed to be silent?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. No,
is it
I think you're
like
supposed
real
to just,
roast form? I should keep my mouth shut.
I think you're supposed to just be silent just take it, you know.
Like a man?
You take it like a man, I suppose. Like an American man.
Yeah. American.
So Rob is, of course, American. He's from Minnesota in the Midwest of the United States. And he's a great ambassador for the USA because he basically embodies all the values that we associate with the United States. Mm-hmm. Basically, I'm saying he's fat and ignorant.
Thank you.
So I invited Rob, as we know, onto the podcast a few years ago, and I thought that would be a good idea. And I'd like to now read out a selection of comments that I got in response to that episode, okay? You're okay with this, right, Rob? It's all part of your penance.
I thought it didn't matter whether I have to say nothing.
Yes, that's right, yeah. So the first one is a message from a regular commenter, someone who regularly commented on every episode I uploaded. And the comment goes, "Hello, Luke. As you know, we all love your podcasts because they're authentic and full of life." That's nice. However, this American was utterly arrogant and full of himself. I've never heard of such a smart aleck person in my whole life. I feel like jumping off a bridge.
Oh mate.
I never, ever heard from that person ever again.
Oh, my gosh.
He just switched off Luke's English podcast forever.
Oh, man.
I'm joking, of course. That's an exaggeration. But someone did comment that they thought you were smart aleck. Okay. Mm. And they didn't jump off a bridge. That's just...
Okay.
Here's another one, right? Luke, hello, Luke. I'm afraid, which is not a good start, is it? I'm afraid I'm completely disgusted by Robert.
That's true.
I might have added the word completely.
Oh, okay.
And the word disgusted. Oh. I don't know.
Well, what part of it is real?
I don't know. I think I might have adjusted that one for comic effect slightly. Okay. But the person did go on to say, 42 minutes and 50 seconds... So this person listened to the whole thing, despite being offended. At 42 minutes and 50 seconds on the subject of American attitudes to other countries, he said some stuff like, "We don't fucking care because we know that we can just dominate the world with weapons," and stuff like that. And now I'm actually quite proud of these comments that I received.
I mean, I listened to it 3 years ago whenever you did it, but I don't remember what he actually said about it.
He didn't really say much. It was like, if Americans know we can completely dominate everyone and if someone pisses off too much, we can throw a smart bomb at them.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
That's a terrible impression of me.
It's pretty awful. But, okay. All right.
Well, you do one, Paul. Go ahead.
I'm even worse.
Okay.
Hey there, I'm the American Perigo.
So I still get no response to that comment or this what I said before, because I would like to propose something new.
Yes.
Which is free hugs. I want to propose free hugs to all of your listeners. Mm-hmm. If you ever see me in Paris, I'm offering you a free hug of up to 30 to 45 seconds.
30 to 45 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's almost a cuddle at that point. But I'm willing, you know, it also depends on, you know, your hygiene, I guess. But but
Rob is a great hugger.
I'm I'm kind of a, you know.
He's a good mother hugger.
I don't want to talk badly about, or I mean, boast, you know.
Boast of your hugging skills.
But I'm a large human being, above average, I would say. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm able to grab even the biggest of men and make them feel
comfortable
up to
45 seconds.
In a secure, okay. A secure hug. So if anybody who is offended, I would like to offer you a free hug.
Okay.
If we cross paths in Paris.
That's very nice of you, Rob. That's very nice. I just wanted to say at the end, Rob originally moved to France to train to become a clown. which wasn't necessary, the training. He wanted to become a clown because he was so inspired by his hero, Ronald McDonald. Mm-hmm. Hey.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's it, Rob. All is forgiven, okay? Aww. You're back to square one. You're offering free hugs, and it's all nice and fluffy and all. It's all good. Okay.
Yeah, that thing about McDonald's is true, though. I mean,
really?
Ronald McDonald had a profound impact on my life.
I can see.
By my haircut, you can tell.
Right. Yeah, I see. Okay. All right, then. So how's it going, you two, then, now that we're back to square one? All good?
Right. How are you?
Fine, thanks. You know, just it's been raining.
It's an aloe vera plant.
That is an aloe vera plant. You know what you're supposed to say?
Aloe vera.
That's right. Yeah, I've got an aloe vera plant.
What
here
do you
on,
do
on
with
the
it?
Table. You just sort of...
Do you cut bits off and then rub it on you?
No, but that's quite a good idea.
What do you rub on you if well, it's not with the aloe plant?
Aloe vera, you know, everyone knows it's a plant, right? It's kind of like, it's got these green...
Cactus.
It's like a cactus kind of thing.
Yeah, it looks a bit like a... Yeah.
Cactus.
Bit like a cactus. It's a kind of cactus. It's a kind of cactus. Well,
I would ask Google, because I'm no botanist, but I would say, yeah, it's definitely a cactus.
Okay, it's a cactus. Let's just agree that it's a cactus. Well,
You have extracts of it in shampoo and stuff.
You feed it little bits of water.
Have you done that before? They'll cut it off and put it on your skin?
No.
It's
not yet.
Sticky. It's cool. I mean, and it's good for your skin, but it's sticky after a while.
Oh, okay.
It's not industrialized, but it's good. It is good for you. If you're ever in the desert and you know, you're feeling like you're a little dry, as one might.
You know. Yes, you just rub some aloe vera on yourself and you're all
good.
You
just want to make sure, because, you know, there's a lot of similar looking cactuses. You don't want to pick the wrong one to rub on you.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Now, what I thought we would do, you two, yeah, is I thought we'd do this exercise that I do at school sometimes.
Okay.
And I do this with low-level students who need to practice things like... Well, you're still laughing at that.
No, you're calling us low-level students.
Yeah, exactly.
I know no English, as we've established. Yeah. Like,
I was thinking, what shall I prepare for these guys? I've got to bring it down. Bring the level down a bit.
Hopefully I can excel at this then, if it's for low-level.
So this is what I do with the low-level students, okay? They're learning sort of language, grammar, like have you ever, you know? Have you ever in the past participle? Have you ever gone? Blah, blah, blah. And things like, would you like to, blah, 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 and I wouldn't like to, and I haven't, and things like that, right?
Okay.
And so what you do is you come up with a list of actions, and it can be sort of a mix of normal things or just stupid, ridiculous things, like, you know, sort of done a bungee jump.
Have you ever been hit by a car?
Exactly. That's the sort of thing I'm talking about. You put all that in a big list. And then you create this thing, which is like someone says, have you ever? And then they pick a thing. Have you ever been hit by a car? And the person says, yes, I have, or no, I haven't. If it's yes, I have, then you ask lots of other questions like, oh, when did it happen? What happened? Blah, blah, blah.
And then you drink a shot.
And then you, and then you drink a shot and you keep going.
Well, that's a drinking game.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And if they say no, then you say, would you like to? Like, it's a bit ridiculous to say, would you like to be hit by a car? But anyway, you would say that. And the person would say, like, no, I wouldn't, or yes, I would. And then why? And then you talk about that. Okay?
Yeah.
And then you take a shot.
Okay.
If you like. So it could be a drinking game. It's also a game for sort of playing with students of English.
Or
a drinking game. Or both.
I mean, have you never played Have You Ever?
No.
What?
I've never played the game.
The drinking game?
No.
It's a drinking game where you go, have you ever? It's like, I've never. I think it's I've never.
Okay.
It's the name of the drinking game.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically the same thing. It's
and
I've never.
You have to guess whether or not it's true.
Well, yeah, you go, like, I've never.
Done a bungee jump.
I've never done a bungee jump. And if you haven't, you take a shot. And if you have, then you're fine. So the people who haven't, then you find out, oh, you've never done a bungee. But it usually ends up turning into something sexual.
But the other people have to say, I think you have or haven't. They have to say true or false.
Oh.
And if they're wrong, then they drink. And if you're...
Okay, it's too complicated.
Anyway, my game is like not as complicated as this, okay?
And there's no drinking.
Right, let's play it.
Yeah, let's just play the game. It's just, it's just a bit of fun. All right, so what we have here is I've written a bunch of actions and stuff on this piece of paper. You can add stuff if you want at any time, but we're going to just sort of go take it in turns. Someone chooses another person and they ask them a have you ever question, and then we just take it from there, okay?
All
How
right.
does that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay, then, right. So I'm going to go first. And I'm going to ask Rob Hain. Rob Hain, have you ever seen a UFO?
No.
Okay, right. No, I haven't.
No, I haven't.
And then the next thing we say is, would you like to see a UFO?
I think that they've already seen us.
Uh-huh. So you'd like to see them back, sort of in return?
Not right away, because things are going really well for me right now, and I feel like that would distract from what's going on. It wouldn't currently.
It wouldn't add to what's going on. Then it wouldn't be like an extra.
I heard that.
Well, you know, oftentimes I'm thinking about like what would the effect be on Earth if aliens came. Mm-hmm. Like either there's like two options, right? Like yes. Three, I guess. They would either dominate and destroy, and then screw it, we're all doomed, right?
Yes.
Or they would try and integrate, and then what would it be like? Would like,
you're talking about Illuminati stuff, Rob?
No. I mean, like that TV show, was it? It wasn't V. It was Manny Patinkin played an alien, and like these foreign aliens, they landed on Earth, and they started doing sports and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, I remember that. I think.
Right?
Yeah, some American TV show.
American
from the,
TV
from the
show
80s.
Was a movie, and then it became a TV show.
Yeah.
And like. It was really, an analogy of immigration of aliens and illegal aliens, literally from Mexico, for example, coming into the States.
Right.
Or, you know, it was a.
So, would you like to see a UFO?
I don't know. I don't know what that would. I don't know how that would change, like baseball or sports. Like, if we had aliens that were playing soccer, like what would? Like, what if all
it's
of a sudden
it's going to improve it? Surely, if aliens are playing football.
I don't know. What if they're slower and we feel like we have to integrate them into our sports? Otherwise,
well, they might be, because they might come from a planet where the gravity is a lot lighter than ours.
Just think of the aliens that we've had on TV, like the aliens from the movie Alien. Yeah. They're going to be brilliant at football, aren't they?
Probably.
You know, flying around, they've got a tail. You know, I wouldn't try and tackle an alien.
Shoot acid at you if you try and, right?
Well, that's
so that would be like, what if that? Just spit some acid on Ronaldo or whatever. Yeah. That would be the end of Ronaldo, I
guess.
That's
right. Yeah, straight through.
Raising the stakes. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a good thing, Luke. but it's definitely the third option.
Okay.
So does that answer the question?
That's very good. Very good. Yes. So it's your turn then. You got to choose a have you ever question, and then
I'm just going to go to the left because that's tradition in my family.
Okay.
Paul. What's your middle name?
James.
Paul Francis James Taylor.
You've got two middle names.
Yeah, mate.
Fucking bourgeois.
Exactly.
Paul James Francis Taylor?
Francis James.
Yeah, but it's not a double-barreled surname. It's two middle names. That doesn't mean he's posh. It's only if he's got a double-barreled surname that
he's posh. Was it Paul Francis?
James. Just Paul, then Francis, then James, then Taylor.
That's just because he's Irish.
Well,
your
parents really weren't messing around.
One of them wanted to call me James. The other one wanted to call me Francis. So they just decided on Paul and then put the two in the middle.
So, Paul Francis James Taylor, have you ever eaten an insect on purpose?
Yes, I have eaten an insect on purpose.
Right, now we get to the questions. This is where we cross-examine Paul and find out all about this. So, when did this happen?
It happened in October, on my birthday of 2014.
Okay, 2 years ago.
When you were 20?
When I was officially 20.
28.
Okay, so Rob, question?
So where were you?
I was...
Japan.
Close.
China?
No. It's not
South
close.
Korea.
It's not close. I was in Mexico.
Really? Not close at all.
No, okay.
Literally the other side of the world.
Were you American with your geography skills there? Okay, so you ate it and you were in...
Wait, hold on. Is it one question each?
I don't know, whatever. Like, you ate it in Mexico. What kind of insect was it?
A worm.
Will you stop answering questions for me? A caterpillar. No, it wasn't. It was a grasshopper.
A grasshopper, okay. The standard thing that people eat if they eat an insect, right?
Can I ask a question now?
Yes.
Was it like covered in chocolate or what? How did it?
It was very finely chopped.
So it was like dust. It was like
almost, yeah.
Dust,
like granola. Chopped. What do you?
Yeah,
mean?
It was chopped. Like
chopped up.
Imagine chopping an onion.
Yes.
It looked like an onion, but it was a grasshopper.
Okay.
Or crunchy.
Or multiple grasshoppers.
That's a fat grasshopper, right?
I think it looked
like an onion.
No, but you know what I mean, like
the body, you got the legs and the wings, and
yeah, you couldn't tell. Yeah, it was
okay.
And
how did it taste?
It tasted good. It tasted good, but it was
good that it's a low level beginner's English podcast.
Paul's getting rinsed again.
Ladies and gentlemen, please look up.
Yeah. please make sure Paul Taylor learns some English. Yeah. This isn't the Luke's English podcast. This is the Luke's English podcast for Paul Taylor.
Every now and then
English.
I get people together and we try and build up Paul's English. And we record it. It's all done on the false pretenses that it's a podcast. We're just trying to raise his English level.
It was in guacamole. It was guacamole, a pot of guacamole with chopped grasshoppers on the top. And I've got a photo. I'll show you the photo.
Were you?
I don't want to see that.
Did you feel disgusted when you were eating it? Were you like, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is disgusting.
It was a little bit off-putting to start with, but it was all right.
So it was all right. So it was basically, would you do it again?
Yeah. Oh, it was delicious, yeah. I mean, in that context, it was nice, yeah.
Okay. All right.
I bet you have, because you lived in Japan.
I've eaten insects, yeah. That's right. Right.
Yeah.
In Japan, yeah. So I was in a bar and having a few drinks, you know, with my Japanese friends, having a few beers, and this guy came in and he was like, oh, dooku, look at this. And he opened up this lunchbox and it was full of these grasshoppers and they'd all been cooked in soy sauce and sugar. And so he's like, hey, have a grasshopper. And I was like, oh, okay. Had a grasshopper, washed it down with some beer, and it was all right. It tasted like shrimp. He's showing us a photograph. Can you send that to me?
Yeah, I will. It's a photo of a pot of guacamole with
covered in grasshopper.
Covered in grasshopper. Yeah.
So when I ate it, it tasted a bit like shrimp or prawn. But the thing is, the legs get stuck between your teeth.
Lovely.
Which is not nice.
Isn't the theory that we're all just going to finish with eating...
apparently insects are the future for the world's food shortage, the crisis that...
There's a food crisis?
It's an incredible... Welcome to America.
Sorry, that was a joke. I just would like to say that's...
Yes, of course.
I hope we can feed all of the children.
Okay. I'll send it to you in messenger.
Free hugs.
Free hugs and free food for children.
Okay. Now,
art supplies.
Art supplies.
I would like to supply art supplies to the children in Paris.
Okay, that's very nice. Very nice gesture.
I never know which...
Paul, it's your turn.
All right, Luke. Have you ever flown in a helicopter?
I've never flown in a helicopter in my life.
Would you like to fly in a helicopter?
I'd love to fly in a helicopter, yeah. I think it would be really exciting just flying around, you know. The thing is that I'd be scared that when I got out of the helicopter that it would chop my head off. Does someone do a comedy about that? Mm. Has someone got some comedy material about when you get out? I know someone, I don't know who it is, but someone out there has got a comedy routine about why is it that when you leave a helicopter, everyone has to sort of like squat down as they leave, as if there's any chance that the thing's going to chop your head off. Like, what kind of design flaw would it be that it was exactly the right height for chopping your head off and people are like squatting down as they run past? That's not necessary.
I think it's mainly in films that happens.
Yeah.
The wind.
But if I did it, I would be like squatting down as I leave the helicopter.
May I chime in here?
Yes, you can.
I don't want to interrupt anybody.
Go ahead.
I have flown 3 times on helicopters, and I think that's just kind of a natural reaction where you're like kind of freaked out. Have you ever drove a lawnmower? You know, a drive lawnmower?
Sorry, yeah. Have I ever driven a lawnmower?
You know, a little... Well, yeah, they have push ones.
It's a low-level podcaster.
And then you have drive lawnmowers that are slightly larger that you go around, you cut the grass.
Right, yes.
Have you ever driven that?
Yes, I have.
Okay. I felt like I was in a lawnmower that was got the blade just above your head, and it feels almost exactly the same, like you're vibrating and you do not feel safe. It is really... Have you?
Yeah. I've flown a couple of times in a helicopter, but I don't really remember. It's just a natural reaction that you duck your head, just like it's a natural reaction when you're like in the metro and a really fast train goes past. You know, it doesn't stop at the station, but it kind of goes through. You kind of
step back
naturally, sort of go around.
Right, okay. All right, then. Well, I'd like to go in a helicopter because I'd like to experience that thing that you just described for myself.
I recommend Malta.
Malta.
Because there's Gozo is the little island right next to Malta. From here, it's not too far away. You go over there and like it's just like a taxi. It's like, it was like 12 euros or 24, I forget. But just to go from Malta to Gozo, which is just like 15 minutes away.
Right. So what's it like being in a helicopter when it starts to take off? Because I know with the plane experience, you run...
Have you driven a lawnmower?
Yes. All right, it's just like that then. Okay.
Well, I wasn't really enthusiastic. I was nervous, I think.
Yes, you were. Because I'd be like, oh my God, we're like flying in a helicopter. Yeah, maybe it's just me.
I mean, it moves a lot more. You know, like it moves...
It hovers and stuff.
It can do, yeah. It moves differently. Obviously, if you're used to a plane, it just moves a lot quicker.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, it's not like the same thing, but you know, if you drive a real car.
Yeah.
If you drive a real car and then you get in a go-kart that's right. really close to the ground but goes very fast, yes. like it just moves so much quicker. Yes, like it's yes. a lot more
mobile.
Maneuverable.
Maneuverable.
There you go. There's a big word. Pow!
Maneuverable.
Today's
big word is sponsored by bigwords.com. For more big words, just go to bigwords.com/Luke. To get 20% off big words, go to bigwords.com/teacherLuke.
This is a fake promotion in terms of conditions.
We have hundreds of big words for you available every day. For example, quagmire.
It's not a character in Family
You though. Now have to... today's definition of quagmire is brought to you by Robert Hain.
When things are kind of weird... Quagmire. Quagmire.
Yes.
Quagmire.
Okay. Yes, yes. A quagmire is a soft, boggy area of land that gives way underfoot. Or, so it's like a swamp.
Yeah, oh, so it's an actual word. I thought it was a character.
Also, Rob is right. It's also an awkward, complex, or hazardous situation. When things feel all messed up, it's a real quagmire.
I thought it was just a character.
Big words in layman terms.
That's right.
Brought to you. Hey, that rhymes. Big words in layman terms brought to you by Robert.
Big words in layman's terms brought to you by Robert from bigwords.com.
Robert from Aubert.
/Luke'sEnglishPodcast.com.
That's right.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right then. So, it's my turn. Robert Hain, have you ever done a jump in a car? Have you ever done a jump in a car? Been in a car and left the ground in a car?
Well, I don't know. Like, would you consider doing speed bumps at a high rate as a jump?
Did all four wheels leave the ground?
Oh, yeah, for sure I've done that. For sure I've done it. I remember train crossing with the Mazda 626 in Minnesota. Yes, I have done that. Thank you for asking.
All right. And what was it like?
It was a huge error because afterwards I bottomed out my father's car. God, I hope he never listens to
this. What does that mean,
this?
You bottomed out his car?
Like when you jump over, depending upon your suspension, that's what absorbs the shock in your vehicle. So if you... are too high up in the air and the vehicle comes down and the suspension is not tight enough, I guess.
Yes, yes.
That the bottom of the vehicle will scrape against the ground.
Right.
I don't know. I needed to do the hand gesture.
You did slam the table.
But it'll slam against the ground. And it was dirt roads of Minnesota, and I'm pretty sure that messed up the gas tank, which caused an eventual leak in the vehicle.
Did the car explode?
Negative.
Did you feel like Dukes of Hazzard? More to the point when you did it.
That is exactly what I felt.
Did you go yeehaw when you did it?
I do that often.
You do that way too often.
Too often?
Yeah, mate. Every time I get on the back of the scooter with you and you're about to go, you go past a bunch of people and yeehaw.
Yeah, that's right. You do that. You actually go yeehaw. Fly me.
I'm the most American person you people will ever meet in your life.
Yes, I think it's
and
true.
And I feel if I'm a representative of American culture, that is not, it's not only a pure enjoyment, but it's also a duty that I have to continue the American legacy here in Paris. Yeah.
And you uphold that legacy by pronouncing the word duty as duty. So well done. You know, you're doing the right thing.
Well,
good
duty
job.
Duty to you, sir.
Duty. Yeah. Isn't that by the police?
Do you not feel that you have a duty to do what you
do? Yes, of course I do.
Would be obliged to do?
Yes, I certainly do.
You sound like François Hollande. You can be do what you want to do.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, there's a bit. François Hollande. If you check in YouTube, François Hollande in the Philippines.
He's the French president.
It's the French president. He goes, you can be proud of you. You can be do what we want to do. That's really? Literally the words that he says.
Oh, my goodness.
And it doesn't mean anything, so.
Okay.
Be you. Be proud of you because you can be do what we want to do.
All right,
which is part of the reason why people were like to me, why does it matter that we speak English?
Yeah, okay.
I was asked the last question. So, right.
I'm going to be editing out these long pauses.
Luke.
Yes.
No, I know the answer to this, so I'm excited to hear how you're going to answer this. Okay.
What is this?
No pressure. I just want the audience. I'm going to say whether or not there's complete transparency here or not. So I'm holding you to your honor system here.
What?
Luke Thompson.
I am your father.
Have you ever made a complete fool of yourself in public? Go.
Yes, I'm sure I have. I'm just trying to think what it is.
I have it written down right here, so you've, please go ahead.
Really? You've got one?
Tell me.
What? You've got one already?
Well, I've kind of been keeping track, so...
let's
see. So go ahead. When do you think you've made a complete fool out of yourself in public?
I think I've made a complete fool of myself in a number of times. I think a lot of the times I didn't even notice I was making a complete fool of myself. And I've been like, that was fine. And everyone else thought that I made a fool of myself. I'm sure that's happened a lot.
That's why I made the list.
Or exactly. That's why you've got this list, apparently, of moments when I've made a fool of myself. Probably doing some disastrous comedy gig. Like, you know, I remember doing one at a show and it was horrible. I'd been invited to be the MC, so I wasn't responsible for setting up the whole room and everything like that.
Well, did you...
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off here, but I didn't mean on stage. Mm-hmm. I have a list. That's a different list, actually.
Okay.
I meant in public, like not on purpose. Because when you're a comic, I mean, that's your get out of free card.
Yes,
but, like,
I suppose so.
Well, I want to hear the example that you've got
written
down.
Yeah, I want to know
down.
This as well. Yeah, if you don't have anything, you're just blagging, aren't you?
Okay, I have the jig is up. I have no list.
So you just did that to just try and get stories out of me.
Kind of, I was fishing.
I was fishing
to see if I could get you to break down. So when have you?
Well, I was talking about
it wasn't
about
your fault.
I don't know if stand up counts. Does it?
No.
Other than that,
I mean, it technically is.
Okay,
making
I remember
it, but
once.
You're allowed to as a company.
I remember one in Japan. So. I had a bicycle, first of all. So I made a fool of myself in several ways. So I had this bicycle in Japan. Because lots of people have bicycles, right? There's lots of different types. There's cool ones. Lots of cool bikes. Hipsters' bikes and BMXs and other bikes.
Like little BMX ones?
Like, yeah, and like sort of like these cool beach bikes and stuff like that. Because I lived down near the beach. You know, cool bikes. And sort of folding bicycles and futuristic Japanese engineered bicycles and stuff. And then there are these other bikes which are just sort of like everywhere. And they're the sort of bikes that a housewife would ride. Huh? So like these old ladies' bicycles with like big baskets on the front and back. They call them mamachari, okay, which is like a mother's bicycle.
Okay.
And so I had one of these mamachari bicycles, this big blue bicycle with a huge basket on the front and another one on the back.
Really,
and I used to go to the supermarket and get all my shopping and bundle it into these baskets and ride back like a housewife, you know. And so I remember once it was my day off and I was riding around the beach and stuff and checking everything out. And there was this area in the park next to the beach where there was like this train on this elevated track, like this kid's train ride thing on an elevated track. And then beneath it, there was like this track going round inside a fenced off area, right? So it was like this train thing. And I was just riding around the park and riding around. And following this, what I thought was a cycle track, actually it wasn't. It was part of this flipping ride or whatever. And I inadvertently cycle into the fenced off area of the ride. And I'm still cycling around what looks like a cycle path. And I'm like deep inside this territory of like, you know, some special ride you have to pay to get on. Yeah, and I was just riding along. And then I looked over in the distance. And there's like over there in the distance was like this Japanese guy in uniform doing this, which is what I'm doing, listeners, is I'm sort of holding up both my hands.
Making a big X.
Making a big X. Like he's standing there making this big X like that. And I was like, oh God, I'm in the wrong place. I shouldn't be cycling here. And I was like, oh God, it's the train tracks area. So I like cycled out and he was like, you know, clearly quite annoyed. And, you know, it was a problem. And as I was cycling out, there's like this little footpath bridge over the cycle path, and there was like a bunch of kids all laughing at me and pointing at me, and I was like riding through and they're all pointing and laughing at me, and I was like, oh, you know, totally humiliated.
The Englishman, which is now part of the ride.
That's right, yeah.
We've got live Englishmen.
Yeah,
you have to pay title for a show.
For your amusement.
Pay extra to see the stupid Englishman on a bicycle.
Kind of like a little zoo.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
Japanese
like the Gaijin Zoo. It's like a zoo where they can go and see foreign people making fools of themselves in public. So that's the time that I made a fool of myself in public, all right?
Good.
Okay, so whose turn is it? It's your turn, Paul Taylor.
Robert Hayne, have you killed an animal by mistake?
Killed an animal by mistake?
Yeah.
Really?
Really recently, I think I killed a bird driving through Portugal.
Really?
And I felt so bad, and I had this moment of... Well, should I tell you about this car that I got in Portugal? Because it was So I got there to Portugal, and it was my birthday weekend and the anniversary of my 2-year anniversary with my wife. I'm very happily married to.
Congratulations!
Thank you. And I told the woman, "Hey, is it possible to get a little upgrade?" And she was like, "Yeah, let me check. We'll see what's available." And she got me the BMW Sports Edition.
Nice.
Like. It's not a coupe, but it was a super luxurious car, and I'm probably going about 160 to 180 the majority of the time. And
Jesus.
I forget, but it's all these little, it's like wine country where we're driving through. So there I'm not obviously going 160, right. But I hit like just behind you, there's these buses, and you got to be on point paying attention because you could definitely easily fall over a cliff and hit a bird. And I just felt like I should stop, but there was nowhere to stop because it's these big, windy roads.
Yeah.
And like, I felt good about the fact that I considered going back. And
to like give it resuscitation,
maybe bring it to a veterinarian or something like that. And I thought that's pretty big of me to have those kind of thoughts.
Give it the kiss of life to a little bird.
Something.
Come on, buddy.
I wouldn't say I have a direct connection to a higher power, but I felt like maybe the kiss of life. What do you call that?
Yeah, the kiss of life.
I would definitely do that.
But you didn't, though.
I didn't, but I considered it. And I think that
you considered it. Yeah, close. That is in your favor. The fact you considered it but didn't ultimately do it. Yeah,
I've got a funny a funny story that's related to language, so it makes sense, and it's the only reason I'm adding it in. So when I first got my car when I was 17, little Ford Fiesta rust bag, I used to drive to college every day to a different town.
Rust bucket.
And
rust bucket.
What did I say? Rust bag.
Rust bag. Welcome to the low level podcast.
Well, I didn't want to mislead your listeners.
Rust bucket, an old car, like rust bucket.
It gets better with my level of English, right? So I'm driving along this country road about 60 miles an hour.
Yes.
50, because that's the limit, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And there's a car behind me, and as we're going down, a pheasant runs in front of me.
What's a pheasant?
A pheasant is a bird. It's a type of bird that's.
It's a large bird. They don't fly very much. They're a bit like chickens.
Yeah, a little bit like chickens. Yeah. So a pheasant runs out, and my first reaction was to slam the brakes, but I saw the car behind me was quite close, so I was just like, I've
just got to go through it.
Whatever. So I hit it.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, your first reaction, mine was to look in the rearview mirror, and it was just like this cloud of feathers.
Oh, God.
So I felt really bad, but I was like, again, similar sort of thing. I was like, it was either I slam the brakes and potentially get slammed into and create like a proper car accident.
Yeah.
So I get to college and people are like, oh, you know, whatever, how are you, whatever. And it made a massive dent in my car as well. Like in the front, like the whole half of the bumper was just completely destroyed.
Yeah.
So anyway, I walk into my Spanish class. This is when I'm 17. And people are like, oh, what happened, Paul? Because I guess I had like a, I don't know, I wasn't looking normal. And I said, this is what I actually said. I was like, oh, I just hit a peasant in my car. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, I just hit a peasant because, I mean, my level of English is, that's how bad it is. Like,
oh, you said that in English?
I said it in English. I said it in my English.
So obviously a peasant is like a poor person.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
A peasant is a poor person. And I knew that, but I didn't, like, I don't know, it was just whatever. I said peasant.
You came in.
Like, what do you mean you hit a peasant? I'm like, yeah, you know, a peasant. The bird thing. And they're like, oh, no, a pheasant. Okay. PH, Paul, you got to add the H. You got to pronounce the H.
There you go. Well, so, we just learned two words maybe on the podcast, peasant and pheasant.
And rust bucket.
Well, and rust bucket as well.
We're going to keep it pedagogic.
Yes.
Pedagogic.
Pedagogical.
I have a tongue twister about pheasants.
Good. We like tongue twisters.
Do you?
Yes.
Would you like that right now?
Yes, definitely.
Are you ready?
Yep.
I am a mother pheasant plucker. I pluck mother pheasants. I am the most pleasant mother pheasant plucker who ever plucked a mother pheasant.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing. That's brilliant.
Thank
you. Run it by me line by line.
I am a mother pheasant plucker.
I'm a mother pheasant plucker.
Pluck is when you pull the feathers out.
When you pull the
what's a mother pleasant fucker?
Well done, Paul.
It's, and that's why it's a
he a mother pheasant plucker. So to pluck a
after
pheasant.
My last experience with the podcast, I would like to try and keep it clean here, Paul. So if you don't mind, we don't.
Right, I'll shut up for that.
This is pedagogic. This is so that people can learn.
We have to establish what to pluck means. It means to pull the feathers out of something.
So I am a mother pheasant plucker.
I'm a mother pheasant plucker.
I pluck mother pheasants.
I pluck mother pheasants.
And in addition to that, I am the most pleasant mother pheasant plucker.
I'm the most pleasant mother pheasant plucker.
That ever plucked a mother pheasant.
That ever plucked a mother pheasant. Whoa, that's pretty good. If you have to do the whole thing.
Well, if you want to do it quickly, the idea is that you say, I'm a mother pheasant plucker, I pluck mother pheasants, I'm the most pleasant mother pheasant plucker that ever plucked a mother pheasant.
And the idea is that in the middle of that, like me, you'll end up saying fuck.
That's not at all the objective.
And, purely innocent.
I'm a little gêné. I don't know
how gêné?
I'm a little bothered by the way that this podcast has turned right now. But it's okay. I think I'm going to be all right.
You know, it doesn't always turn like this.
I wanted to keep it pure for your audience.
Yes, it's good. Keep it clean.
Whatever happens, always ends up me not speaking correct English.
Yes, you always make some sort of mistake.
Whenever it's if Amber's on the podcast and the three of us, it's always about me not speaking good English. Anyway,
because as I've said, this whole thing is a whole ruse just to improve your English.
All right, go.
Okay. It's my turn.
Yeah,
Paul. Paul Taylor, have you ever, have you ever had a public argument or fight? Have you ever had like a fight or a big public disagreement?
Have I ever...
Like a big fuss of some sort?
I've had... There was one time where I complained in a shop about buying a camera, but that I wouldn't really call that an argument. Actually, recently.
Yes.
I was driving in Paris and... there was a queue of cars and whatever in front of me, but there was an empty lane on the right. So I decided to go in the right lane to try and jump a couple of cars.
Yeah.
Because I was turning right later on anyway. What I didn't realize is there was a car double parked on the street, so that's why everyone was on the left lane.
Right.
So anyway, I go into the right lane, gain a few cars, and I was like, well, I guess I have to come back in.
Yeah.
Into the main thing. And I ended up trying to turn in front of a white van.
Yes.
A guy in a white van, he went crazy. He started chatting with me, blah, blah, blah. So I just shouted at him. I'm like, sorry, I didn't realize, blah, blah, whatever. And then he shouted something, and then we insulted each other, and then we carried on for a bit, and then he pulled in front of me so I couldn't get in front of him. He comes out of his car, and he starts banging on my window.
Really?
Yeah, he went crazy.
He's banging on your window?
He was banging on my window, and I had to just be like, look, mate, I thought it was two lanes, calm down. Like,
not the face, I'm Paul Taylor, I'm Paul Taylor.
Exactly.
I'm at PT Comedy, I'm on TV. not the face. Yeah.
Wait, where were you?
Near République. I was just driving home. And some guy, he went... Because I've had another time where it ended up like I had to turn left on a street, which means you have to wait for the oncoming traffic to pass you. Mm-hmm. So I was blocking everyone behind me, and the people were pumping. Like, it was a guy behind me who just decided to like really slam on the horn.
And I
just threw up my middle finger like in between the two seats. I was like, fuck off, whatever. And I could see him it was a taxi driver, I could see him in the rearview mirror getting really annoyed. So when the traffic did start moving, I turned left, he followed me, and then we arrived at a red light. Me in first, then him in second, and he gets out of his car, he comes over to my car, starts banging on the window. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, here we go.
Why do people keep banging
so
on the window?
Yeah. So anyway, I drop the window by about 2 centimeters, and he's like, open the window. I'm like, what? And he goes, was that to me that you stuck up your middle finger? And I just went, no. And he went, okay. And he just went back to his taxi, and that was it.
Yeah, thanks, have a nice day.
Mate.
You got out of that one.
That happened three times on my way here today.
I have road rage, but I realize that I can't... What am I going to do afterwards?
You can't back it up. Yeah. So, Rob, I'm sure that you get involved in these situations all the time, right? Don't you? You said 3 times already on the way here today.
Yeah, it's my kind of... That's my story. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm used to that. Getting near fist fights often with driving experiences.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mean to take away from your story though, because it's
that's it. That's the. I mean, that's it. Basically, revolves around people being idiots.
Yes.
And being disrespectful or just whatever, like in the metro or something. Like actually just walking here, mm-hmm. I was trying to cross the road and the light was green for the pedestrians, but it was also green for the traffic and, you know,
yeah,
they turned.
Yeah, they
turned. The guy turned and he didn't just stop and so I slapped the back of his car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's
just a double standard.
It's
a double standard. I think
it is,
that's
isn't
the
it?
Thing that I want to... But it leads me to that. It's like when you're in a car and... The way you have to drive when you're driving in Paris is like you have to drive in Minnesota. If you drove like that, you'd be accused of involuntary manslaughter, I think. Like, because you have to drive at the sidewalk, regardless of whether or not, at the crosswalk. Otherwise, you'll never get through because Parisians aren't waiting for the green hand to, you know, or the little walking dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in order to get by as a person who is commuting by any means of transport, foot, bike, motorbike or car, you just have to be a selfish, egotistical...
Everyone's just everyone's so crammed in together in this place. It's just unreal. Okay, I think we've got time for one more round and then that's it. So this is the final round sponsored by, what was it?
Big Words of the Day.
Bigwords.com.
Rob. Layman terms. What was it? Big words in layman's terms.
Big words in layman's terms with bigwords.com.
I'm just going to take something that comes to me from the universe instead of going off of our list.
Okay.
Can it be to both of you at the same time?
Sure.
So it's more inclusive since it's the final round?
Go ahead. Speak into the microphone.
Where have you guys ever scuba dived before?
Mm. No, I haven't.
No,
you haven't. And would you guys like to scuba dive?
I don't know, actually. I'm a bit sort of cautious about going deep down into the water where, you know, everything wants to kill you.
How deep do you think it goes? Like,
I don't know, like a few hundred meters?
That means two things. Speaking of Malta and Gozo,
Were we speaking of Malta and Gozo? We were earlier
about the helicopter I mentioned.
That's right,
that
Malta and Gozo. That's sort of strange. I never knew there was an island called Gozo, did you?
Goza.
Goza? Goza is from Ghostbusters.
No, G-O-Z-A. Look it up on Google if you don't believe me. I did scuba diving one time there. I've done it once, and it is one of the most beautiful things I've ever done, I think.
Really?
You guys have to. You get to this point where after you...
More beautiful than getting married to your wife? Sorry. Sorry.
That you can do alone with nature. Let me clarify the most beautiful thing that you can do. Once you go down underneath the water and you stop freaking out because you only have like this small... So you have to like... It's kind of like breathing through a big straw or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And once you can calm your breathing down... You kind of like you have to. It's like the ocean is hugging you because you've got this pressure coming from you from every angle, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like if you go down, and it was kind of shallow water, you know, it was it wasn't more than 9 meters deep.
Right.
Like in your first time, that's never going to happen anyway. But I highly recommend it.
Okay.
Long story short.
All right then. Fine. Good. Paul.
No, I've never. Oh yeah. Sorry.
Choose another question.
All right. So both of you, have you ever slept outside? Not camping.
Have I ever slept outside not camping?
Yeah.
I actually haven't, you know.
Really?
The only times I've ever slept outside have been when I'm camping and we've like decided to sleep out without the tent because it's nice. But other than that, you know, no, not overnight. Rob?
Not camping, yes.
Yes?
The worst job, the fourth worst job I've ever had in my life, I was what they call in French a ventouse. Which is the guy like, so if they're going to do a movie in Paris, they have to block the streets the day before or 2 days before so that nobody's parking there, right?
Mm-hmm.
They put all these cones, these big orange cones on the sidewalk or on the street, obviously, so that people don't park their cars there. And to make sure that the locals don't move the cones and just park there anyway, they hire some dude, some poor sap, to sit out in a vehicle all night long and guard the spot. And I had that job. And so I slept outside in Paris and it was the fourth worst job I've ever had in my life. I don't recommend it. I saw some shady things that I don't want to talk about. It'll make me a little emotional.
Wow. moving stuff here on Luke's English Podcast. Okay, I think that's it, right? I think we're done.
Oh,
I got one.
Oh, the
we're
last
leave
round.
On that. How I can got... we leave on that? Can we leave on something positive?
Okay, let's
this
see.
There's got to be a last.
Let's see. Let's see. Have you ever swum with dolphins?
No.
Or sharks? No. All right. No.
Have you ever met a famous person? Yes, but without knowing it.
You met a famous person
in France. Like I meet French. Like I've met a couple of French people who are like today. There was some guy in my dressing room that was doing makeup.
Yeah.
Who was?
And
it?
He's a. His last name is Tapie. Bernard Tapie.
Oh my God. The politician?
Yeah. The guy who used to run Marseille Football Club.
Oh yeah?
And I had no idea who he was. So he's a famous person, but I
but you had no idea?
No, because I don't live here, but... And Addie gets really angry with me.
Because she's like, you met him? And you're like, yeah just
yeah,
a bloke.
Yeah, like the guy, he's in one of our videos about the strikes. He also plays the doctor in a famous French TV show. And she was like, how did you spend like half a day with him and you didn't know who he was? I was just like, oh, he's a cool guy, you know. We talked and whatever, and he said he acted and other stuff. And, you know, he didn't brag about himself. And so I didn't know who he was until okay. I got home.
All right. Fine. You, Rob, have you met a famous person?
Does Paul Taylor, do you count? I mean, you two are pretty famous now. You were worldwide famous for your podcast. You got millions of listeners all over the world.
I never meet anyone who knows who I am. Except sometimes, actually, at work, we interview new students at the school. Like I had recently, this woman came in. I was like, so, you know, like interviewing her to get a level of English. And then I was like, oh, you know, do you listen to anything to improve your English? And she was like, yeah, I listen to podcasts. I listen to, wait a minute. And she looked at my name tag and she was like, wait a minute, are you Luke from Luke's English Podcast? And I was like, yes, you know. Yeah,
that's awesome. You get that recognition, right? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's quite cool. Yeah.
But to be honest with you, Paul and I have been working at Canal Plus, and like we eat lunch with people that I recognize from the television almost on a regular basis now.
Yeah.
And
being
an actor, I'm like, I've been an extra in a lot of movies since. Was that the question? Have I met a famous?
Have you met a famous person?
Yeah.
A lot.
Who?
Wes Anderson, Brad Pitt.
You met Brad Pitt?
Matt Damon.
Really?
Were
you the guy in The Bourne Identity gets punched in the face with a book? No.
I have done a lot of jobs in the film and cinema industry, and in Boston when they shot, what's it called? Good Will Hunting.
Yes, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Right. I had a small role that got cut from that movie, and I was a stand-in for like a week and a half on that.
Yeah.
10 years later, I was working for a production company here in Paris as a production assistant, and it says on my resume that I was Matt Damon's stand-in in Good Will Hunting, and somebody saw that. Well, it's on IMDb or whatever, right?
Oh my God.
And so somebody at the thing saw that, and we were doing I was working for the production company that was doing... Born Ultimatum.
I can't believe that you were the stand-in for
No, but for him, I wasn't. I was the stand-in for Cole Hauser.
Matt Damon.
But it says Matt Damon on IMDb. So then 10 years later...
So you're not
later,
arguing with that? You're not going to call him up?
I'm not going to call.
I think that's hilarious.
Cares?
That's hilarious because that means that if Matt Damon had been sick, then maybe some scenes of Good Will Hunting would have been you shot from the back.
Wait.
And it's like Rob Hain, but then it turns the camera and it's Matt Damon.
Well, they don't do that. They would never... that's called a body double, and that's a different job. I was the stand-in, which means they set up the cameras for using my face, and then when they're done with that, then they finish.
See,
so then 10 years later, they were shooting The Bourne Ultimatum here in Paris.
Yes.
And the people knew, the production company knew that I had done that before, and so they asked me to do it again for him.
All right, so you were brought in as...
But they really wanted me to do it. Like, they lied about my height so that I could do it or whatever. And then 2 months later, I was Brad Pitt's stand-in on a Wes Anderson commercial as well.
Oh, my goodness.
So I have, like, I stand there and I say as little as possible to those people, and... Okay. So, I've met a lot of people.
All right, here's Robert Haynes' credits on IMDb.
Oh, shit. Yeah. What is it going to say now?
Filmography. Known for. You know, like there's the known for section on IMDb.
Yes.
That's not my filmography. I'm not known for that.
You're known for Inception.
Titles. Inception.
Good Will Hunting. OSS 117, which is a very famous French film.
That was a real role.
Scary Movie 2.
Yeah.
Really? You're credited in these films. This is amazing. I didn't know this.
What else have we got? French thing. French.
It's Robert Hain, H-O-E-H-N. And he's
Inglourious Bastards.
Inglourious Bastards as well, yes.
You met Quentin Tarantino?
I did. Yeah.
Really? Well, well, well. Imagine what that would have been like.
I guess I didn't. I forgot about him.
It says filmography. It says miscellaneous crew.
Miscellaneous crew. So, no, T-Boy.
They don't really... Because I'm not really trying to be clear about what I was doing on those... Because I owe some of those people money, I guess. That's not my joke. I stole that joke. I'm sorry. That's Redwan Harjan.
Should we not be talking about this? Is that...
No, I'm cool with it. I've done a lot of shit jobs.
He's now been promoted to elbow in GQ magazine.
That's right. My elbow is in an article on GQ
Your
magazine.
Elbow?
Yeah, next to Paul Taylor's face.
Oh, okay.
But, you know.
GQ magazine did a thing about the show. Yeah. And they took the screenshot of the bit where Rob spills beer over me.
Yeah.
In the terrace episode.
So it's you, but then there's Rob's elbow in
and
there
a bit
as well.
Hair, yeah.
Okay.
I like being in the GQ article that mentions my name, Robert, H-O-E-H-N, Robert Hain. It's pronounced Hain.
Like
you can
champagne.
Find me on Facebook.
Rhymes with champagne.
Facebook.com.
Rhymes also with pain, which is
Robert Hain.
His ass is feeling after... That was my...
It said,
right, so that's your joke.
Two things. It said I was... I think it said I was a man in the shadows. And it also said that I was Paul Taylor's acolyte.
Acolyte.
Which I believe is a big word.
Isn't that like a dinosaur from the Cretaceous period?
Well, I do feel very Cretaceous sometimes. But acolyte is a henchman, is how Google translates it.
Is that right? A henchman. Someone who hangs around with someone in order to... what was it? Acolyte?
What? I thought a henchman was someone who does your bidding like a samurai.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought.
I'm gonna look up the word.
So a person assisting a priest in a religious service or procession.
That's right. A henchman?
Or an assistant or follower. So
I'm following Paul Taylor.
You're his assistant.
The man in the shadows following Paul Taylor, which is true. It's very true. I'm riding those coattails as hard as I can.
In France. Son acolyte, Robert. Okay.
But I didn't find follower. I thought more a henchman was kind of like a gorilla.
I love
like,
the beginning of his phrase. Right. His acolyte, Robert, in parentheses... who we see generally the hands or the neck.
Yes.
from Minnesota, and it carries on.
Right.
It's just like it's like Robert, in parentheses, the guy's elbow.
Yeah. The guy's elbow is always in the shot.
Or the guy that I'm always telling to shut up.
Right.
Like often we have a disagreement in the videos.
Right, yes.
Whether it's in the back of the cinema and he's going, shh, and I go,
and
shut up.
He's throwing popcorn at you.
Right, or he's spilling beer over me.
But it's evolved. I really feel like my character is characters have evolved, whereas Paul is still playing the same one-dimensional English twat. I'm sorry, I get a little aggressive. No, I think that's Paul has really got this kind of one thing going, whereas I'm showing a lot of diversity as far as
he played my gay step father-in-law,
right?
In one of the
as
episodes.
Well as a okay. French what do you call it, revolutionaire with a pitchfork.
Right.
I mean, you've I'm really
well as a guy from La Poste that smashes a computer on the floor.
I feel like my experience at the Boston University Conservatory program has given me the know-how.
The wherewithal.
And, it doesn't prepare you how to survive success, but I think that it's really... It's sure, really prepared sure. my craft, and my body is an instrument with which...
See, now I think this is the bit. It's important to say that this is the part where Rob is being in his sarcastic voice, which you might not pick up, which is maybe why people got annoyed at the last
episode.
Yes,
exactly, because they took it on face value, yeah. as people do, as
what
we know.
What he's saying now is it's being sarcastic, which
I don't understand what you're talking about. I went to Boston University Conservatory.
You actually
program.
Did go to that, though,
yeah,
didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. But he's saying, like, it's like the people who on stage who are like, in Paris, there's a very famous thing called Les Cours Florent, which you pay 10,000 euros for.
Yeah,
sausage factory for French actors.
Uh-huh. And so basically, like, I've seen like three or four comedians do this, like a stupid impression of a thing, and he goes, that's £10,000 worth spent at the Cours Florent. It's a similar sort of thing. He's being ironic about the fact that the Boston University prepared him to be hold a pitchfork and
exactly, and to do these
that
roles.
Was even slightly sarcastic in my recent, I don't understand
I don't
what you guys are talking about.
General tone of it was there was a sort of
a little upset
element of irony or something.
Well, I just want to set the record straight for your listeners, because I'm sure that they're going to have time to cross-reference and truth fact this GQ article in French.
Fact check.
Truth fact.
Did I say fat check?
No,
fact check.
Fact check.
Yeah, but they're going to fact check the... Yeah.
What did he say?
A truth check.
Truth
a
check.
A truth fact. I don't truth, know.
Anyway, I wanted to give fact. The truth to your listeners so that they knew that how I felt. I just feel like it was...
Okay. I understand. You're clarifying, clearing the air, just making sure that everyone...
Well, I didn't want people to think that I was like just, you know, an elbow or something. For me, it's much more of a journey than that.
Really? It's like a really deep... You sound like Christian Bale or something, like a really serious actor.
Well, I believe that we have the same process as far as well, maybe the character is concerned. Because, you know, there's a lot of times people don't take the craft of acting seriously, and I feel like I should be one to defend it as well.
Maybe, Rob, that you're going to receive an award for this at the next award ceremony, like Best Elbow 2016.
Well, to be technical, Luke, and I don't know if you're being sarcastic now, but it'd be Best Supporting Actor. Okay.
Of course.
I don't know if they have the Molières for that or not. Is it the Molières or the Caesars?
Caesars.
I don't know if they have the Caesars for short short series, short comic series on Crypt Day for Best Supporting Actor in a short comic series.
Best Supporting Elbow. Okay.
Well, it's the back of my neck, if you want to translate directly from the article.
Well, I'm very glad that everything's been progressing so well, and that you're really sort of blossoming as a method actor, and that, you know, things are going so well for you, Paul, on television and everything. Thank you for coming over to the flat.
Thank you for having me back. I really want to thank you. This has been a big, courageous step for you, and I hope that you're... I hope that your listeners respect the level of dedication you have to being impartial, you know, and, you know, really being above a lot of the hearsay that's been going on. So thank you very much for having me back. It's a real honor to be here.
It's a pleasure. Honestly. And, you know, I think we can consider now the slate to be wiped clean.
There's nothing I want more than that. Thank you so much.
Okay. Feels like I'm releasing him from prison now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The slate's been wiped clean.
Now you've paid your debt.
I definitely feel cleaner. Like something from my soul has been lifted.
You've been sort of your debt to society has been paid.
Thank you.
It's like a weight off your
shoulders. Well, he still owes me some money, so.
Yeah. Except for that.
That's.
Except for some numerous private matters.
It's a big debt
where
paid.
Money is being owed, but you don't owe to society in general.
It's not a debt. It's not a physical or a cash debt. It's a debt, moral debt.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you, everyone, for listening to us talk rubbish for an hour, and we'll be back on the podcast soon. But gentlemen, anything final to say to the people of the world before we sign off here on the end of Luke's English podcast?
Nah, keep listening to Luke's English podcast. It's a really great way to learn English.
I am a huge fan, and
you've been listening.
I've been listening. I still have not figured out what the Russian joke is. So what I recommend to all listeners is to go back and listen to every episode from the beginning. But I haven't figured it out because I understand it's pretty deep and philosophical, and it leads to hours of discussion. But we shouldn't talk about it now because that's a different subject. I think
I'm glad
all
you
of your
it up
listeners.
Because I almost forgot about it. I was like, it's been my mission to bring that up ever since it happened.
But there's so many. If you go back and listen to these episodes, there's so much adventure and life that you can learn about from Luke talking about, like, if it's from the experiences from mice or the mouse that he had in his apartment, mm-hmm. that he, well, speaking of killing animals, but, you know, go back
Didn't
and listen
kill it.
To that.
It's not dead, that, I think.
Well, we don't know. Maybe you just grabbed it and threw it out the window. How do we know that? Anyway, there's a lot of mystery and drama around that episode.
Intrigue.
I'm also really enamored with the episode about when you went on vacation to Thailand and you have your stories about the bathhouses where all of the men were checking out your package.
Your package.
Your package.
Yeah, that was an embarrassing moment. Yeah, I could have mentioned that as the time when I made a fool of myself.
There
in
you go.
But it's not your now fault. It's genetics.
Boom. Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah. And on that bombshell,
bisou.
Have a nice afternoon, you guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Goodbye. Bye.
Right. Bye.
So there you go. That's the end of that conversation. Well done for making it all the way to the end here. I wonder how it was for you. Did you manage to catch everything that was said? Did you find it difficult? Did you find it not too difficult? Let me know in the comments section. Good luck if you're transcribing that episode, because we did talk over each other quite a lot, as friends do when they're hanging out together. Of course, you realise that most of what we said was quite tongue-in-cheek, right? It wasn't supposed to be taken seriously. Tongue-in-cheek.
means that a statement is done humorously and not seriously and shouldn't be taken at face value. So we say to do something tongue-in-cheek or to say something tongue-in-cheek. So most of what we said there was done tongue-in-cheek, so don't take it all seriously. And that includes the insulting jokes that I made about Rob at the beginning of the episode, which were all said in good faith. So thank you very much for listening. And I wonder if you have any stories to tell about the things we talked about in this episode. For example, have you ever done these things? Have you ever seen a UFO or eaten an insect or flown in a helicopter or done a jump in a car? Or have you ever made a complete fool of yourself in public? Have you ever killed an animal by mistake? Have you ever had a public argument or fight? Have you ever gone scuba diving? Have you ever slept outside but not camping? And have you ever met a famous person? If you have, then tell us about it in the comments section. Right, so that's the end of this episode. I should also say, by the way, the voting on the Luke's English Podcast anecdote competition is now over. And soon I will upload the second round of that competition, in which you'll be able to listen to like the top 10 top 10 or 11 or 12 favorite anecdotes, and then vote on those. Okay, so that the anecdote competition is still underway, and part two will be coming soon. Don't forget to subscribe to the mailing list on my website. That's the best way to get instant access to the page for every episode of this podcast. Just go to the website and you'll see in the top right-hand corner it says subscribe to the email list, and just put your details in. And then when a new episode is uploaded, you'll get an email in your inbox. Just click the link and you'll be taken straight to the page for the episode, where you can leave your comments, read other people's comments, and read all the notes and bits of transcription and stuff for every episode. Okay, right, so that's the end of this one. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great day or evening or morning or afternoon or night, and I will speak to you again on the podcast soon. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye. Bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.